Hello and welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Billy.
I'm Reese.
I'm Matthew.
And today we're exploring the wonderful world of Wes Anderson in light of his latest release, The Phoenician Scheme, and our recent screening was early film Rushmore at Cine Club.
With that being said, what's your favourite film of his?
Ooh. This is an interesting question.
Mine changes all the time, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I used to be like a diehard Fantastic Mr. Fox. Like, oh, that was always my favourite. That was always the only one I'd seen. What?
That was an era you had, yeah.
That wasn't an era, still a film that I love. What?
It was. Anyway.
Are we already having an argument?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, okay. Anyway, right. Fantastic Mr. Fox. Fantastic. Billy, what's yours?
I probably would go... Rushmore. I like Rushmore.
Rushmore's pretty good.
Yeah. It flips between Rushmore, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and Moonrise Kingdom for me.
See that one, yeah.
I quite like Grand Budapest Hotel. I know it's not the most popular one, but it's pretty successful.
I would
successful.
Say it's his most popular.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, it's the most mainstream one that he's got outside of Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, I just expose myself there being like a mainstream normie, great.
It's this little indie film.
Willem Dafoe in it.
I like him in it. He's really good, isn't it? That's what I like about it.
You're having boy with apple, you little fruit.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's
really good. It's got Adrian Brody.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And he's like dead.
That does not narrow it down. Adrian Brody being in that film.
Well, no, I've just said his line that he says to Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. Speaking of, I did watch Darjeeling Limited last night.
Yeah, so did I.
That was great.
This morning.
It was really good. You watched it this morning, didn't you?
Yeah. That was very good as well. I wouldn't say it's my favourite, but it's still pretty like good.
Yeah.
What I really like about Grand Budapest is Willem Dafoe. Essentially. That's my favourite part of it. he was really good in it. I do.
You're an easy man, Reese.
Yeah,
easy to please.
I see Willem Dafoe, I'm just like, yeah, get in. Good film. He's in just great films. Anyway, he's really good in it for the little he's in it. Even, I forgot his name.
The bellboy.
Not the bellboy. No. Jeff Goldblum.
He's in it as well.
Oh, he gets his cat thrown out. Doesn't he die as well?
He does.
He gets murdered.
That made me really sad because I'm really enjoying his character. I like the theming of
it. Do you know the stupid little alien in Asteroid City, if you've seen
I've not seen Asteroid City.
But I know you haven't seen it. Yeah, Jeff Goldblum's the stupid little alien in Asteroid City.
I love that. That sounds very good. Asteroid City is one I feel like went under my radar. I've heard of it.
It was what prompted me to actually go and watch all the rest of his films except for Bottle Rocket, because I can only seem to find it on Criterion. I don't really want to shell that amount of money out, but... yeah, I've seen all of them, I think, except is the rest of the Roald Dahl shorts he put on Netflix.
Yeah, I didn't watch them.
And obviously Bottle Rocket. Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple of them. They were okay.
I've seen Henry Sugar. I haven't seen the rest of them.
Yeah.
Mm. That was canny.
He really likes his like quirky little actors, and that's like one of his staples,
yeah.
I think.
Well, actually, that's a good... Who's your favourite actor?
Oh, for Wes Anderson.
Because I think mine's Jason Schwartzman, you know?
I know I've seen him in...
He's in Rushmore and Darjeeling.
Yeah.
He's in... Oh, my God. Does he not play Christofferson?
Yes, it's not like he does.
Yeah. He's Christofferson in Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah. I thought you just noticed that.
I know he's just picked up Michael Cera for the Phoenician Scheme.
I don't know how that hasn't been a combo before.
I mean, he's
before.
Also been getting Richard Ayoade as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, Richard Ayoade's been in them since the Netflix shorts.
He's in the short films, isn't he?
I do quite like Adrian Brody, though. I think I've really come around to him because I've like previously known him as the penist and...
The penist?
that's the name of the film, that's how he pronounced it, isn't it? The Brutalist as well. So I've thought him like very Oscar bait actor.
I still think he's just a bit of a knacker. He's alright in the film. He's alright in Wes Anderson's
films. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor.
But he doesn't take himself too seriously in the Wes Anderson films, does he? Doesn't seem to, at least.
No. He plays along with it quite well, I think.
Yeah.
But I do like him in those films. But yeah, other than that, it shows a different side to the horrible, grim, brutalist type actor that we see normally. That's what I like about him. Obviously, Willem Dafoe's in some of them as well, and he's just a gold star actor in general.
Willem Dafoe's great.
Well, if you like Willem Dafoe, then watch Life Aquatic, because he plays a guy called Klaus in it, and he's very funny.
That sounds good. That's on my list then.
Yeah, it's his funniest role in the Wes Anderson films. Yeah,
wow.
I was talking to someone last night. You said, "Nah, I've not seen it." But I was talking to someone about it last night, and they said they think that's his worst film. What do you think?
Life Aquatic.
Yeah.
No, I think for me, it's French Dispatch.
I've heard that was.
I wasn't very keen on it. It's the only. I think it's the only one on Letterboxd that I've given below 4 stars. Mm. Well, feature film anyway, because I think I gave Henry Sugar 3.5. But it's just, I didn't vibe with it. It's like an anthology film where it's multiple different stories split up into. It's like a French Dispatch is a newspaper, and these are all meant to be different stories about the newspaper. Right, okay,
yeah.
But like, it just, something about it didn't click for me, and it just felt like Wes Anderson being too Wes Anderson-y, which is something we'll get onto in a little bit. Yeah. But it didn't click properly with us, and it sort of speaks to a wider problem, which I'll talk about later as well with modern Wes Anderson.
I think with that being an anthology as well, it really takes a lot to make them like properly click.
Yeah.
Because other anthologies out there, like we'll say Buster Scruggs or something, it's not a Wes Anderson film, but it's quite relevant in this conversation. Like,
that's
got a really strong start, but then if every story in an anthology isn't a hit, then it just goes downhill and you start losing momentum.
Yeah, definitely. There's a few of the storylines in it that are cool, but like the only ones that I remember is like Timothy Chalamet being a revolutionary or something and falling in love with, I think it's Frances McDormand, who's like a journalist. And there was another one where I think Jeffrey Wright was a food critic, and that was interesting. I did like the fact that actually Jeffrey Wright seems to fit the style quite well, because they brought him back as a general in Asteroid City as well.
Oh, right.
And he fits the style, I think, as well. It's another one of these combinations like Michael Cera where you might not have thought of it before, but as soon as they put them together, it's like, why wasn't this a thing?
Yeah, that's a gold combo that Michael Cera wears.
What do you think about his style? Do you think it works, or can it go too far on certain occasions?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is where we're going to start disagreeing.
Okay.
Because I think his style works in a lot of instances. Fantastic Mr. Fox, it works quite well. The colour palette always hits. It's always lovely. He knows how to use it very, very well. I think that's the main signifier. The symmetrical shots are always very nice. Whenever he does break from them as well, that's a really good tool. But again, watching the
Dodging
Limited, that the style went a bit too much. I mean, it went a bit too far. In that scene that we were on about before, the river scene, where the characters, for those who don't know, they're crossing this river to see
spoiler alert,
there's about halfway mark in the film. They're crossing the river, there's these kids in a river, and their little boat tips over, so the main characters have to go in and save them. And Adrian Brody, he doesn't end up saving one of the kids. He ends up letting them die. And Wes Anderson, his like style, it's very matter-of-fact feeling. A lot of the time. And I feel like it was a very matter-of-fact manner in which that kid died. And it's a turning point in the film.
So do you think it undercuts the emotion of it a bit? Yeah,
it really did. Because he just kind of... There is a bit of panic when Adrian Brody goes under as well. Because he's about to die. He doesn't die. Spoilers again. but he walks out the water with a kid. And like, oh my God, the kid. And it's just like, he's dead. Oh, he's dead? He's dead.
No, I think there's a bit more emotion than that. He's like distraught over
it. He's quite upset, but he's been like, he's upset in that Wes Anderson way where they're just kind of blank.
I do get what you mean. It's the way Anderson likes his line delivery.
Yeah.
It's it's still very emotive, but it's conveyed in a very flat sense.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this was the turning point in the film. It like hangs up on it for ages. And for it to just be like, he's dead.
Okay.
That was literally what it was. He died. Like that. And it just kind of slowed the momentum of the film. And you were saying you were crying at that bit. You were quite upset.
Well, I wasn't like...
You weren't like sobbing,
but I was like, fuck me. I was like, that threw me off.
Yeah.
And then when the family of the kids, allow them to stay with them for the funeral.
Yeah.
And then it takes you back to the dad's funeral.
Yeah.
I like that bit. That bit
was a really good bit.
That was really good.
But again, that whole like death of that kid is very matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's very flat, like you say.
It does come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It comes out of nowhere. It's a low point in the film, like morally, and like it's at the lowest hour, you know?
How do you mean morally?
Well, no, not morally for them, but like he did not bludgeon that kid to death, but like, that's like the lowest point in the film for the character that's already sad. And it's handled with the same tone as the high points, I think.
Yeah, and I kind of know what you mean. Right. It's what I was referencing before, where I feel like, obviously, Darjeeling was a while ago, but I think modern Anderson is too, he goes too far.
He leaned into it too much, doesn't he? That's my issue.
Yeah, it's like, I think Asteroid City is the perfect sort of example of that, because it's they probably one of his most saturated colour palettes.
Definitely.
It's one, it's like got his, it is just the most Wes Anderson film that you're likely to see.
Yeah.
And like, the Phoenician Scheme kind of looks like it's going down the same path. It feels like he's become a caricature of himself. And when you go back to, so obviously we've just watched Rushmore recently.
Yeah.
You go back to something like that, and you can see the traits developing, because it's early on in his career, but it's not so much that it's completely distracting. It feels authentic. And meanwhile, when you go to something more modern, like the Roald Dahl shorts that he did, or Asteroid City, or even French Dispatch to an extent, or Isle of Dogs, he feels like a caricature of himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like the traditional dialogue that you'd expect. It's the saturated colour palette. It's the symmetrical shots. It's the, yeah, it's the story structure.
Yeah. I do kind of agree with you on that. I think Isle of Dogs does it quite well, though.
Mm.
That's, it's animated, so it's like his full like fantasy playground he can play around with.
Yeah.
And the line delivery in that works quite well for the humour, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose.
But I suppose, like, this is the thing with Anderson in general, the dramatic reveals always come in these, like, very matter-of-fact, blunt lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the man being a nun.
Yeah.
In Dodd, when they just go, oh, yeah, she's a nun. And they're all like, what?
Yeah.
And they move on immediately. Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I suppose that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you sat there going, that is?
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't, yeah, I see what you mean.
I do get what you mean about Rushmore, but I think it was, like, it's too early on for it to be really his. Like, I think, again, we're talking about Fantastic Mr. Fox here as well, because that's, like, one of his pinnacles, I'd say. That's when the style hits. Like, Rushmore, it's very, very naturalistic looking.
Yeah,
it's got the colour scheme to it.
That's why,
not entirely.
That's kind of why I like it, because it's very naturalistic, but it's still got Wes Anderson's traits in their early infancy.
Yeah.
But it's not so much that it's completely distracting.
Uh-huh.
Like how I said, he feels like a caricature of himself these days.
Yeah.
Rushmore's got a lot more heart, I think, than a lot of his other films. Yeah. Because, again, watching Dalgene Limited, you see a lot of the colour palette coming through. The yellow is very prominent, and it's very set in this, like, you could even, like, call it like a surrealist world, almost, for what it is.
Well, Moonrise Kingdom as well, that's very matter-of-fact with its line delivery most of the time, and it's very, very yellow.
Yeah.
Very, very yellow. but I still really like that one, because it's before he went a bit too far with it, but it's still got that heart to it, but it's not too cold and distant like a lot of his other stuff has been.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Asteroid City, it has its heart. French Dispatch, it has the heart, but it's just, I feel like he's sort of lost the plot a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's went, because, like, to me, Wes Anderson is mainstream art house.
Yeah, it's like, I agree.
It's accessible art house cinema, because it's got all these stars that you recognise in it. And it's obviously, it usually gets like a big distribution. But I feel like he's gone a bit too far in that direction, trying to be unique and oddball, because that's what he's been defined as in public perception.
He's become like a quirk chungus of
himself. But then again, you've got like, don't ever say that again. But then he's just said like, quite unique. There's films like, I saw a film, this is a couple of years ago now, that for ages I thought it was by Wes Anderson, because it seems it's got so much, like, it's sort of directed very in a very similar way. The line delivery is quite similar.
Is it See How They Run?
No, it's that's a good one actually, because I thought that was by him as well.
Yeah, I really thought it was. It just feels like it apes his style completely.
But I was thinking of Submarine.
Is it by
Richard Ayoade?
I think so.
Yeah. Because he's had influence from Wes Anderson, has he? Yeah.
That's a really good film, Submarine.
Mm.
Very seen on the poster in the early Wes Anderson.
It was on the poster in the A-level media classroom.
Yeah, it was.
That's where I know it from. Yeah. Do you think it's Wes Anderson himself doing this, like, increase in stylization?
No, I reckon he's being told to. Because you see a trailer for one of his films, in the first shot, you'll be like, it's a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So I reckon there are people, like, producers who are like, go on, amp it up a bit.
I would say it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a snake eating his own tail.
Yeah.
Because, like, he himself is amping it up, but then the producers are also...
Yeah, because he's not going to be like, okay, I'm going to tone it down for this one. Because
that's not
why would you?
That's not what sells.
Yeah.
It's the it's the what he's known for. It's the symmetrical. It's the colours. Yeah. It's the characters. So if he goes to the studios, executives, and he's like, I want to make a completely realist film. It's like, what the hell? What, no, you're not.
Yeah. They're not going to get the money.
How are we going to get Willem Dafoe to be a silly man in this?
There was an SNL sketch a few years ago with Edward Norton, and it sort of parodies, it's like a fake Wes Anderson film. And it like, it gets it spot on in the way that it's sort of very colourful, very quirky. And I think that's when people probably started to notice like, oh, this is sort of becoming, don't want to say formulaic, but like Asteroid City, French Dispatch, and the new ones are coming out. They all seem incredibly similar, I would say.
Yeah,
whereas Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums, I think they seem completely different.
Totally.
In their own ways.
Rushmore's definitely the most different.
I think if you look at the trailer for Phoenician Scheme, it looks like you couldn't tell the difference if between Asteroid City and that, really.
Yeah.
It's the exact same. Like, obviously, he has a set colour palette, but that the colour grading in both of those films looks identical.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like an AI has been fed the prompt going to make a Wes Anderson film, and it's like spat one out. Like, it doesn't feel... it feels like he's just repeating himself, doesn't it?
But just instead of a sci-fi plot, it's a heist plot, I think, instead.
Yeah.
But then... If the plots are different,
Bottle Rocket to heist film as well, isn't it?
I think so.
Or the first half. I've seen bits of Bottle Rocket.
That would be interesting to compare then, actually. Bottle Rocket, sort of more realism from his early days to Phoenician Scheme with his very, very heightened style of now.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see.
There we go, double bill. So, as of recording this, we have not seen the Phoenician Scheme. It's not out yet. For us, anyway. Is there anything you're particularly hoping to see in it? Anything you hope it avoids as well?
I am looking forward to seeing Richard Ayoade as some sort of gorilla. Not like the animal. I mean, like, he's like a soldier in the film.
Is he?
Is he?
Is he not?
I've not really heard much about it.
I've kept away from the trailers.
There's a bit when he walks in and he's like got like a shake bar look going on, and he's got like a rifle, and I'm like,
that's pretty cool.
It took me a second to realize it was him until he speaks.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's Moss.
That does sound really good. That's a twist on Richard Ayoade, because he's normally he's normally Moss in everything.
as you would call it, the quirk chungus. Yeah. He's the quirk chungus in everything.
Yeah. Is he not in the short films as well?
Yeah, he is. He's in the Roald Dahl ones. I'm mainly just looking forward to seeing Michael Cera in one of these. It's a match made in heaven, and like, I think the people that interviewed from the film have said as much, because I saw something from Benedict Cumberbatch earlier where it's like he compared Wes Anderson discovering Michael Cera to God discovering water.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. Yeah,
so I'm quite looking forward to seeing what comes of that.
They look similar as well. Is it just me?
They do look similar.
They look a bit similar. They look like they would be the two like mates in school who meet at lunch, and then you just look at them and you're like, oh, they've got to be mates, haven't they?
Yeah.
God.
Things it avoids. I would say going too far with the style, but I think that's inescapable from what I've seen of the trailers. Yeah. I've tried to keep away from most of it, but I have seen bits, and it looks like I said before, it looks the same as Asteroid City, so I don't think that's avoidable. I just hope it's not too much.
Yeah, that's what I think he needs to do. I think he needs to branch out the colours a bit more, because visually you could take a shot from any of his most recent films and they'd just be like, I don't know which one's that from. Not a clue. Yeah, it could be any of them.
Like Matthew said before, with Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums, if you put them next to each other, the look different, the look unique. They are unique, but like a lot of his recent stuff, you put it in a row, you couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah,
of course.
Rushmore's quite good because it uses real world locations, I feel. Like, it's taking the symmetry of life, I suppose, instead of just making a set to make it like super, super symmetrical like he normally does.
And actually, that is a good point. Yeah. A lot of Anderson's earlier work is set in real places. A lot of his newer stuff is set in like fictional places.
Yeah. So I think if he does end up variating a bit, that's what I want to see. A bit more like on location shooting. Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be, from what I've seen.
Really?
There's a couple of scenes that are set in like, it looks like a big, like a Colosseum type thing. It looks, I don't know, it looks and even the scenes that are set there don't look as colourful as say Asteroid City.
That's good.
Which is,
that's a good thing.
Interesting.
Another thing I'm worried about is him choosing style of a substance.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what happened with when I was watching Dojin Limited. Like, towards the end of it, there were, it's still the Wes Anderson isms. I feel like he has trouble getting his words out and the meaning out when he needs to. Like, there's very touching moments with the mom at the end of the film, right, when she's a nun.
Yeah.
And they're all coming together again. And it just feels, it's still that very brief, very blunt line delivery. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's holding himself back from really making the film come together emotionally.
I really want to disagree, but I can't. It's the bit when she sees them again and she hugs them all. And then it takes her a few seconds to go, what happened to you? And she looks at Owen Wilson's character.
Yeah.
Who looks like his face has been like, what was it? He crashes a motorbike.
He crashed into a hill.
He goes, I crashed into a hill on purpose.
Yeah.
Never mention it again.
Uh-huh.
I see. Yeah.
The best bit in that film is when it breaks character. The bit when he's pepper spraying them.
That bit's really funny.
Because that breaks the style.
I quite like the bit in the bathroom when he removes all the bandages and they're looking at him. And it's like Jason Schwartzman, he doesn't want to look at him. Mm-hmm. He's looking in the mirror and he keeps like looking up and down. But like Adrian Brody, he's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I like that bit.
We need more of that. We need more variations from the style because as I said before, like that's one of his strongest assets. He's got that style so set in stone that any variation from it, like, oh, this is interesting, this is new.
Yeah, because that whole scene, it's like there's only one line said, and at the very end, he sort of tells it all through the characters' faces.
Yeah, I think he's kind of just in a cage of his own making now, though, because people just associate Wes Anderson with what the modern films look like. It's like a few years ago when you would get all those TikToks coming up saying, this thing, but if Wes Anderson made it, and it's just people are completely missing the point. It's just symmetrical shots and making everything really saturated. It's like, come on, you're boiling it down a little bit there, but it is understandable because it's he has become hyperbole of himself.
Do you think that was a turning point, like the TikTok?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, the TikTok. Yeah. That's a good word, actually. TikTokification of Wes Anderson.
What did you say? Come up with them all today.
Yeah,
come up with one good phrase.
Chungus. TikTokification.
Oh, but yeah, I feel like his style's become very commodified. So it's not unique anymore. It's like I've been saying the whole episode. He's become a parody of himself. Almost.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you can't. Do you think that means you can't enjoy his new stuff?
No, I can definitely enjoy his new stuff. It's just he's just too stuck in his ways,
like,
and he can't
like maybe not appreciate it as much.
Yeah,
as he would. Yeah,
he can't escape what he himself has trapped himself into now.
Yeah,
because he's known for that style. Any departure from that, people would not be happy about. Mm.
So he's less of like an auteur vision instead of it, in that he's now like a corporatized, packaged auteur vision, I suppose.
Ooh. I would say it treads the line because he's still got that auteur feeling to him. He's still a very distinct filmmaker, but like with all the A-list Hollywood stars that flock to him and the wide distribution and like you say, the corporatization of it all, it's a very difficult question.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, it would be great to see a Wes Anderson film where he's got a lesser-known cast instead of, like... Because Asteroid City had, from what I've seen,
it
I haven't
stacked.
Seen it. Had an insane cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you go back to, like... I know it was very early in his career. Bottle Rocket had Owen Wilson and I think Luke Wilson did it as well.
Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, and there was another one, but I can't remember who.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what he's called. I'll have a look later.
But, yeah... But even this Phoenician scheme, that looks stacked. Benicio Del Toro, Michael Cera, Benedict Cumberbatch. I think Jeffrey Wright's in it. Obviously, Richard Ayoade, as we've mentioned. I think there is a Nepo baby in it. I've completely forgotten her name, but she is like the daughter of a famous actress and so on and so forth. Bill Murray's in it. I've been spoiled who he's playing, but I won't say it.
Okay.
Oh, so didn't even know he was in
is
it.
The conclusion going to be take all his toys away?
Take all his
toys away. He's a middle aged man, or something.
He could have toys in his toy.
That would
rest
be
what you're doing.
That would be interesting, though. Strip back all of Wes Anderson's Andersonisms.
Yeah.
And see what you can come
That'd
up with
cool.
today.
Because you could still, like, you could still come up with something.
Yeah, totally.
It's just
the
fact that, like, yeah, like you've said, he's kind of got too far into what he's known for.
Mm hmm.
You know, I don't want to call him a one-trick pony because he's obviously not that. No. I still think he's great.
Yeah, He's got many tricks. They're just all variations on a front flip.
Yeah. Ooh. Front flip in like different coloured shirts.
Essentially, that's what it is.
He's like, look at this one. They're like, whoa, you did it again.
Oh, Wes, you've already shown me that
what's
four times today,
Wes. He's put a different shirt on.
It's that Sheen meme.
Yeah. Right?
This is the fourth time you brought this to show and tell. So is that our conclusion that his style still works, but it's become like a bit too much of a pastiche and a bit of a parody of itself.
Like 200 years ago, you didn't know it. Yeah. You were like, this is new.
He's got what hits. Like if they make another, I don't want to push a narrative wanting another Rushmore. But if they do make some like similar again, it's not gonna sell as well.
Rushmore 2.
I'll see that. I'll watch that.
He's just the geriatric old Bill Murray still chasing after the young woman. Well, I think that wraps us up quite nicely. I think that's all the symmetrical shots and quirky characters that we'll have time for in this episode. Now we pose the question to you. What is your favourite Wes Anderson film, and what do you think of his style? Is it for you? Is it not? It would be really interesting to hear from you, so get in touch with us at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com.
And make sure to check out our socials at the Cineclub Podcast _Spark on Instagram, at the Cineclub Podcast on TikTok, or the Cineclub Podcast on Facebook. There's a lot of them. And they're all a good way to keep up to date on the latest podcast developments.
And as always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being edited by Emily Main. And a special thanks to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler, and Richard Berry. A reminder that our Rushmore students this week have been me, Reese,
me, Billy,
and me, Matthew. This has been a Cineclub production for Spark. Thanks for listening.